Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. In 2022, most of us have some form of presence online, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even TikTok. But the digital world can sometimes be a hostile place, filled with aggressive comments, misunderstandings, and worldviews we may not agree with. How do we navigate these rough waters of social media? How might we engage in online discussions without resorting to nasty fights in the comments section? Joining us today is Father Christopher Collins, SJ, the Vice President for Mission at the University of St. Thomas. Father Collins will provide us with some tips and tricks about engaging charitably on social media. Father Collins, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful to have you here. Well, you know, social media, it's a relatively new concept in the whole realm of technology, and we've seen it being defined and refined, I suppose, over the past 20 to 30 years. But recently, a general understanding is that people tend to feel bolder behind a screen. They allow for charitable comments to come forth and discussion. So let me start by asking you, Father, what are some of the catalysts that you've encountered when it comes to uncharitable or maybe just unkind dialogue?
Well, I think there really is something about, obviously, the anonymity of, in many cases, even if you might have like a little username or something, you don't have a person in front of you. You don't have another face in front of you. And when we get far removed from that actual in the flesh human interaction face to face, we do get emboldened and say the kind of things that are just less than human, you might say, right? If we're not having actual human interactions, there can be a tendency toward that less than human and uncharitable, mean-spirited, wanting to just conquer or humiliate another or all these kinds of things. So I think part of the just challenge of the mode of communication is just that there's not an actual human person in front of us. And yet there's still great benefits of social media. In some ways you can gather people around certain ideas or help people come to different events so that they can build that human community up. But if that's all that's going on is the virtual interaction, it's pretty tough to keep it humane and loving, frankly, it seems.
Right. And that's my sense too, Father, is that, well, I mean, you've already waded into this water, which is great. And I do think, but I think it's worth mentioning that what we do online, it does have effects in the quote unquote real world. So, I mean, our virtual actions, our social media interactions, that does play a role on how people interact with others, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, all kinds of commentary about this, but more and more, this is even worse, the way these little pockets of like-minded little silos of ways of thinking can be really divisive, ultimately, that, you know, I want to find people that think exactly like me, and we just reinforce our own thinking. And part of the way we reinforce our thinking is by demonizing other groups that have a different take on different things. And of course, never have any actual interaction with those. It's very tough these days in the culture to get out of ourselves and have those encounters with people that see things differently. A lot of times, this is part of my experience too, even at the university in different ways, there might be, you know, the presuming of the worst of another person or party or group, when in fact, it might be something more like that other person or that other group has a different emphasis or a different value that they're really putting ahead of a different value that I've got. But fundamentally, we're not totally opposed to each other. And I think there's something to be said for just stepping back and taking stock of, and actually listening too. This is a thing that maybe doesn't come through too well in social media, to genuinely listen to another person, to see where they're actually coming from, and to try to look for what's good in where they're coming from. This is a principle I'm a Jesuit priest, and that's a principle that comes out of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius in modes of communication, you know. Do what you can. This is like a recommendation, an admonition to the spiritual director, let's say. Try to find what's good in where this other person is coming from. Even if it's kind of off, you know, that's okay. Just look for what's good and start to build from there, where we have a place of common sensibility And then some of the other things can get perhaps cleared up. Maybe we might be able to come to a refined understanding of things on both sides of the equation. But start with what's in common, right? Because that's what's of God, right? I mean, that God that creates us for unity with each other and with Him. And if we're always looking for where the difference is or where the problem is, well, that's all we're going to find then, too. You know, so right. That kind of becomes a self-fulfilling mode of operating, it seems to me. So that habit of trying to look for and listen for the good of where somebody's coming from and then building from there, I think that's an act of holiness, really, of looking for where there's unity, because where there's unity, that's where the presence of God is, ultimately.
Right. If I may, Father, that sounds simple enough, but it's also sounds incredibly difficult. I mean, it's one of those things, right?
Simple but hard things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's not complicated or it's not complex, but it is, right. It's, that doesn't mean it's easy. Go ahead, Father. Yeah, please.
No, maybe part of the challenge there is, okay, that's an easy mode to describe of communicating, but if I am not feeling all put together myself, if I don't have a sense of just calm and peace and confidence in who I am, I'm not going to be able to do that simple but hard thing of like giving other people a break and giving them the best interpretation of what they're going through, you know? So part of the work, ongoing work, is I think spiritually just, you know, deepening our own prayer, our own sense of how God sees me as a beloved son or daughter, and it's okay, and I can handle the challenges in the world if I'm more solid myself, you know, and more at peace and more confident. I can handle flux and challenge and instability in the world if I am feeling like I'm solid with the Lord, and so I think that's part of the work, just the daily prayer life too.
So you're
sacraments and so on. So.
Right. You're essentially saying that if I don't have peace on the inside, I shouldn't expect it on the outside, huh?
Yeah, something like that. We're not going to find it out there, and I'm only going to create more discord probably if I'm feeling kind of on the defensive or fearful or resentful, then I'm just going to create more of that spirit, seems to me, out in the world or in the virtual world.
Right, right. Well, we've engaged in this, and I appreciate the things that you've said already, Father. But I'm just going to be honest and say, here's where I really struggle when it comes to wanting to. I guess I'm not wanting to sow seeds of discord. That's not the motive that I'm going in with it. But that might end up what's happening is when I have online friends that put something up specifically about Catholic teaching that is patently false, that I know is not true, that's a misunderstanding. And that's when I am tempted the most to just jump in. And I know this about myself, is that, yeah, I maybe give a thought to being about being charitable, but really I just want to be right. I want to set them straight, you know, about that.
Right.
So how do we address a situation like that, Father?
Well, even just the way you phrase that at the end, that's a kind of a maxim that comes up in marriage counseling, I know. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Okay, that's one thing there, you know, because those are not always the same thing. So, if I want to, that's a good place for, you know, after the interactions, that's a good thing for an examine to kind of review, like, how much was I really being driven in this interaction to be right, which is really more my ego. It's not about the content necessarily. It's if that was more about my ego and my needing to be right, well, there's something maybe, even if I was saying something that was right, maybe there's a little coming from a disordered place, perhaps, right? So I think in hindsight, it's good to kind of review, am I really trying to build things? How much am I really coming from a place of wanting to build up a sense of truth, grounded in community and so on, or am I just trying to be a know-it-all or somebody that is kind of winning, you know, because, and also, by the way, you never win in those situations, you know,
yeah,
it seems to me. So there's something about, I think another way of thinking about it is the way of building communion among the people of God is a dialogical one. I actually wrote my dissertation on Pope Benedict's theology, which I called dialogical. Okay, there's always a given take, a back and forth, a speaking and listening. It's a relationship, in other words. We can only come to truth by way of relationship and genuine dialogue, you know, as opposed to just imposing a proposition or this is the truth and get on board or get out. You know, that's just not what God is like, actually. God is communion within God's very self in the Trinity, right? And even Jesus is the Word that's spoken to the world, right?
Right.
The Word made flesh. He is the dialogue itself between God and humanity. And so the way that I communicate, ideally, it's always leaving open the door for more dialogue that can clear things up along the way, if that makes sense. In other words, you got to keep relationship there, even if it's not perfect. Communicate in a way that allows another word to be spoken that might be constructive, if that makes sense, as opposed to, you know, a proposition that's take it or leave it, more of a monologue, really, than a dialogue.
Right.
Am I looking to build up relationship and then discover the truth in relationship, or do I just want to be the one that's right? And I think that's a good thing for all of us, and certainly myself, too, to try to keep in mind and be modest about, kind of a little sense of humility, you know. You can still be bold in the kind of things you say, but operate from a place of humility that God is going to work out this arrival at truth together if we're really treating each other as human beings and with a sense of humility and modesty. That's maybe one thing to reflect on, at least, and myself too.
I like it, Father. It's a big challenge and maybe a very appropriate one to take up, especially during this holy season of Lent. I guess the one, maybe one more question that I have is, it's at the front of my mind right now, is that, so some of the things that we're talking about seem more particularly applicable to media platforms, social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. But things like Instagram and TikTok have turned more to a visual, the visual realm, in terms of social media and that sort of thing. So I guess my question to you is, how do we promote beauty, truth, and goodness in social media today? Maybe especially with a nod towards some of the visual platforms that we have.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a little out of my element there, to be honest. I'm not sure what I could say about that. I mean, that's certainly something good to shoot for if you're in a visual medium of any kind, how can beauty be conveyed there? And also recognize the limitations of it too. You know, I mean, again, the ultimate beauty that we can encounter that is of God is really in the created world out there, away from the screen too. But yeah, certainly there might be that's a good kind of lens to certainly approach whatever it is that we put out there. Is this a place of beauty that's being communicated, but also maybe recognize there are just limitations to that too, and encourage people maybe by way of, maybe that's a little mini campaign within social media, is encouraging people to get away from the screen and get out into the world with other people and encounter God's creation too and live like normal human in flesh lives too. That's way better time spent.
Right.
Even though, like I say, there's certainly goods within the social media realm. But if we are not spending much more time out there in the created world where God can be encountered in others and in the flesh, then something's off, right?
Amen.
So it's always a good thing to take stock of how much the usage is there on the screen anyway. So.
Amen. Well, with that in mind, Father, we've reached the end of our time, but before we let you go, even though it would be better to be in your physical presence to receive a blessing, may we receive a blessing from you for us and all our listeners, please?
Absolutely, and thanks for this opportunity. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this time to be together in this way, and we ask your blessing to be upon each one of us and all of our loved ones, and help us always to be growing in great gratitude for the love that you have for us. And may the blessing of Almighty God descend upon you all, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Father Christopher Collins, we're so grateful for your time. We're gonna have you back on, I think. Thanks for joining us, Father.
Super. Thanks so much. God bless you.
All right. Take care. Catholic Answers has some great articles about social media use and evangelizing through the media. You can check them out at www.catholic.com. Lent is an opportunity for practicing Catholics to be remade inside out, to be fashioned anew in the likeness of Christ. And what better way to do that than face to face with our Lord? If you want to hear more, stay tuned.